Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend the hour with us. We're very, very glad to have you. Well, it is February. It is the month of love. I know I always say that love should be 365 days and nights a year, but the fact that it is the Hallmark season, and I think we should honor it. Regardless whether you do it 365 days, I think it's an important time to reflect. If you're in a relationship, really connect and reevaluate and just see where you're at with your partner and honor them, love them, and have lots of fun and hopefully have some really wonderful sex. And to talk about that, there's some wonderful stuff that is coming up. We've got the Valentine's Healing Love Weekend, which is coming up on February 14th, 15th, and 16th, which is pretty amazing. I've got the lovely, the fabulous Minka DeVos on the show, and she was on a couple weeks ago. She is a Qigong master. She is the author of Feminine Treasures, which is the Tao Tantra for Women's Wellness, and she does so much stuff. I don't even know where to begin, as well as the Feminine Treasures, the Women's Circles, where people can get their certification, and just lots of wonderful, wonderful magical healing work that is done where people can own it themselves through dance, through love, through lots of Qigong as well. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here. It was such a warm, warm event we had last time, so it just attracted me to come back again.
Oh, thank you. So I'm very excited. So you've had a couple busy, busy weeks. You've got lots of classes. You've had one of the workshops. And in terms of the Full Spectrum Goddess, I'm very excited that you're having it back again, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be on March 9th. And that's all about dancing the archetypes of the feminine. Because mm-hmm. a lot of women get stuck in just one role and get into a pattern, and then they get actually bored with themselves, with their life. Their partner gets bored just playing one role. So we get a chance to try on different flavors of the feminine and, you know, expand the spectrum of who we are and taste what it's like to, you know, be on a sexy side or on a really sweet side or on a wild side, mm-hmm. and enjoy those different aspects of ourselves.
I think it sounds absolutely amazing. And now that I've had a chance to try it, I can honestly say it was really, really amazing. I was blown away on so many different levels. Some of the work with the microcosmic breath, which for those listeners who are going, what the heck is that? I should probably ask you, Minka, to describe it, because you can probably do it.
The microcosmic orbit is linking up two channels in the body, one channel that moves up the spine to the crown, the other channel is going down the front of the body. And so we link up these two channels by running energy up and down and up and down. Mm-hmm. So it links up the fiery masculine energy that rises and the cool feminine energy that falls, and then you're balancing just through running the energy, masculine, feminine energy.
It was pretty amazing, and I know when we're doing the sound release as well, I found it absolutely fascinating. I grew up doing musical theater, and I was amazed just at how fast my body actually warmed up, just even for prep for singing, let alone everything else. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a lot of things I learned in my life actually came full spectrum. So that was pretty
wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah. We were singing by channeling sexual energy up mm-hmm. through the throat chakra. And so connecting those two centers, you know, really powerfully together.
And I think that's key, because I think as sometimes many women I know, and including myself, I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I think we suppress stuff in our throat chakra. We don't say things because we're trying so hard to be nice. Sometimes mm-hmm. we're pleasers. We try and take care of everybody else around mm-hmm. us because we tend to nurture, and that's one of our gifts as women. And mm-hmm. with that, sometimes that voice just needs to literally roar.
Yes.
So that was
really
cathartic.
Want to free up that creative voice, you know, and give it all the energy you want in that moment. Yeah.
And then from there, it's beautiful. And for those who have not listened to the first show, because I know we've got some new listeners, or at least a few people who said that they're going to tune in tonight, who are quite excited to hear the show, that in terms of, just to recap, about the creativity energy by channeling your sexuality, it's really good for creativity. It's also, it resides in the bones. And so by being able to just get it to flow through the whole body is, and through the different energy fields, pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, it's just pure life force energy.
Yeah.
So it's just like a fountain in our lower body that we can just send that fountain of energy up to our heart. We can send it to our brain. Wherever it's needed, it's going to rejuvenate those areas when we move it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The problem is we tend to stuff it down and suppress it and not really using it, not accessing it, and then it gets stagnant. And so we can actually start to self-destruct because we're not, you know, using that energy. So it wants to create something, so then it can get quite dark. So we really want to bring it to the light and mix it with love, you know, sending the light of love down into our sexual organs and transform that energy.
And that is something that does not need to wait till Valentine's Day, ladies.
Yes.
This can be 365 days a year that you can do, regardless where you are in your cycle, whether or not you are just starting your cycle in terms of a menstrual, whether you're postmenopause, perimenopause, doesn't matter. Just embrace it. And it's just really, 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 really healthy. It's also really good as well just for your health, which we talked about last time as well, just to recap the last show. So in terms of for warding against things like breast cancer, ovarian cancer, cervical cancer, It's really healthy, and a couple people I did mention it to were very, very interested about the fact that it can reduce and in some cases completely clear menstrual cramps.
Yes, it can. Because, you know, when your energy is too tight and cramped there, it's just held, like, and it turns cold as well. So we want to get the heat of using the breath, using our smile, using the warmth of love to bring that down there, so it's not like an iceberg. It's like really flowing, warm water, sexual water, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So some people put a hot water bottle on their belly, but you can actually use your breath and your love and your inner smile to create that internal warmth.
Which is a much more empowering position to be in, I think, because you may not always have a water bottle with you.
Yes.
And you will, hopefully, as long as you're alive, always have your breath with you, or at least a machine that can help you breathe if you're not able to breathe on your own. So I think it's a very powerful place to be.
It's important just to breathe all the way down in the groins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, start the breath from a really deep place. And so the constant movement of the breath is down there. Yeah.
And breath really is life in so many ways. And the other thing I wanted to touch on as well was the jade eggs as well, which using that to just in regards to the microcosmic breath. But as well as that, I just love the fact they're jade as well, and just the wonderful properties of jade in terms of for healing, etc.
The jade is the green color, so it's the green color of the jungles and the life force of nature. So that green is the energy that moves our passion, and that green color is the wood element. It moves our life force and our ability to dream as well, to follow our bliss is also coming from that wood element.
And I think that's something for a lot of us in Vancouver. I think we need a lot of, because sometimes I think, because it is really beautiful here, even though like days like today it is cold. But it's a beautiful place. So sometimes we are a little bit chill about stuff and we don't always make decisions about stuff. It's just until the very last minute where it's like, let's just see what happens and say yes to five different things as opposed to just making one choice. Mm-hmm. And just going and just really committing to things. And by committing, seeing what gifts unveil themselves to us.
Yes. Yeah. So the wood element in Oriental medicine is also ability to make a decision. And now we're in the horse year. And the horse year is the wood element. Yeah, and it's the wood horse year. So it's that ability to make quick decisions and just gallop towards it, to really go for it. So it's a time of the year of a lot of energy, and you can really go places in this year.
In terms of with the Chinese astrological and relationships, I've always been cautious about horoscopes just in general, but I'm not as familiar with the Chinese horoscope and the elements that go with it at this stage. If somebody would want to find out, like, how, you know, who's their mate, etc., like, how much, I guess, can you rely on that, and how much do you need to do your own work?
Well, the zodiac and the, is also tendencies that the universe has given us,
okay,
like gifts when we're born, and it's what we make out of it, really, you know.
Mm.
And each moment, you know, the universe is giving us these tendencies and these winds of change, and it's how we really respond to those changes that's really our freedom of choice.
Okay, that makes sense. And in terms of for the elements, how does that affect the year? Because you mentioned it's the wood horse year, and so that in terms of the quick decisions.
Well, I mean, with finding an animal that's compatible for you, I mean, you can go online and finding the list of animals that's really meant for you, you know, that you're compatible with that person.
Okay.
Like universaldao.com or healingdaousa.com, they all have ways that you can find what your animal is. But yeah, it's really interesting, and a lot of people have had partners that are compatible, and they really believe in that because it's, you know, it's worked for them.
Of course, I just had this random, I think it's the entrepreneur in me idea, just popped in my head of some sort of a matchmaking, like online dating service where you get matched up based on your astrological signs.
Yes, that's definitely possible.
I'd be very curious if that would work. So, and do that as well, if anybody's a programmer out there, yes, you can take my idea. You heard it right here. So.
Yeah.
In terms of for healing, tell us a little bit more about the work that a couple can do, and especially in the workshop, if they sign up for the workshop.
It's all about connection. So in the workshop, we're going to be able to breathe together, and breathing from the heart, not just, you know, from the physical breath, but like you're breathing from heart to heart. And from your whole energy field starts to breathe together and communicate together. So it's that intimacy of the energy that we want to cultivate in the workshop and this kind of work. And also the eye gazing, the soul eye gazing, you're really looking into that mystery of the other. And if you keep looking into the mystery, it keeps pulling you in. It's an incredible invitation. Because it's never boring, right? When we tap into that deep mystery, who is this person, you know? And that can create much more longing to connect with that deeper parts of that person. Yeah, so we will have what's called silent tantra, where you're just sitting together, doing nothing, no agenda, no control, no manipulation, no judgment.
It's just gonna be hard for some of us.
Being together and being quiet together. So we're not escaping, you know, distracting ourselves. We're just simply looking into the other person's eyes and connecting. And you can do that for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And it's amazing how deep you can get together and how much is actually resolved in the silence. It's like magic, really.
Wow.
Magic. Because it's the best gift you can give someone is that 100% attention. That's what we're all longing for, really. You know, just give me space to just be myself. And so you're giving that space, that sacred space. Yeah. And then through that, the heart naturally starts to open.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important thing, because sometimes I think, even in Vancouver, where we're pretty open about a lot of stuff, I think sometimes there's misconception of what Tantra actually is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you... I think you did a really great description of what Tantra is, that connection, that intimacy.
And it's really like weaving of the sacred into our daily life. So making every moment sacred, you know, and cherishing it with full presence. Yeah.
Which I think is the magic. It's what I think when I was a kid anyway, I used to hope Happily Ever After was supposed to be. And it was going to be like that every moment. And realize that that's a lot of work to do it that way. Mm-hmm. But when you do it and we take the time to commit, it makes relationships really flourish and makes them rewarding as opposed to work.
Yeah.
And the work's kind of fun.
In the Tao, we talk about cultivation of a relationship to create a perennial relationship that the flowers will just keep popping up in the spring, you know, because we've cultivated it with love. And it's like planting a garden. If you're planting one garden, you don't water it, it starts to die and wilt, and then you plant another garden, and you plant another garden. And it's a lot. It can be a lot of work.
Yeah.
Preparing the soil is a lot of work. Yeah, so it's cultivating that perennial relationship. They really know each other and know each other's energy, and then you start to open up more and more and more, you know, and just keep loving growing. But it takes, you know, a lot of creativity to keep kindling the fires.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep the passion. So your partner doesn't just become a partner, but a lover. You can keep that romantic side of your life growing and blossoming.
And I really believe that's what everybody wants. I remember years ago, there was someone who came up to do a workshop from Seattle, and we sat around a circle. She wouldn't let me sit. I had to actually participate, even though I was there as a reporter, which was interesting because I did not have a partner. So I got paired up with another reporter for the Georgia Strait, and we did the workshop together. And it was interesting because there was couples there who'd been together for 5, 10, I think the longest was about 15 years. And we went around the circle, and when she asked, what do you want to get out of this? Most people said intimacy. But then when she actually broke it down and asked people to get together where you had to tell what your partner had said, what they wanted, and it was a stranger who your partner was in this, because they paired you up with a stranger, and it would be like, so-and-so said this is what they want. Their version of intimacy was completely different. For some people, it was they wanted to be hugged. Some people wanted more sex. Mm-hmm. Other people just, yeah, one woman actually said she wanted her husband to take the garbage out, and that would be intimacy for her, which broke my heart a little bit. Everybody laughed, but she was actually serious.
Oh,
so.
Gosh.
So it was really interesting where it was, but it is, it's that acknowledgement that being seen as who we are, where we can actually be our authentic selves. And have some you love you even as you are, like all the beauty and all the not so great, well, the things that we think of ourselves as not so great.
Yes.
And just that acceptance.
Yeah. And be there through those stormy times and through the uncomfortable times, just to be there and not escape and run away. Yeah, that's so important, I find, just that loyalty of our presence for each other.
Yeah. I think we all want that. And Vancouver's been called a very hard city to date in. I've got lots of friends, both male and female, LGBTQ, straight, doesn't matter, just where sometimes they find it difficult to relate. And there seems to be a general sense and I see it a lot, just reflected in women's magazines, etc., that there's no such thing as true love anymore. And I don't buy that, but I'm also very lucky because I've got a really amazing partner. Mm. And for those who are listening who are looking for somebody who could be a potential partner at this stage of their life, anything that you'd recommend and just really encourage them to keep believing that there is such thing where the dating cycle doesn't have to be planting a garden here, one there, where there is the work that we can do, even if you don't have a partner yet?
I think it's when you upgrade your own energy, then you'll find someone who's also upgrading their energy. So light attracts light, and love attracts love. So the more you love yourself, your vibration rises, and it's that vibration that is like a magnet that's going to pull those people towards you. The synchronicities start to flow in. You start to meet those people of a certain vibration or frequency, you know, what you're really longing for. And I think it's really important to love yourself totally and keep your heart open to that possibility and really know that you are worthy of love. So it's often our doubting self that say, I'm not going to find anyone. This is hopeless. You know, it's our self-doubt and our fears that are holding us back to actually finding those people or attracting them towards us. So really filling the heart in our whole being with it. I am worthy of love. I'm totally lovable.
I think that's key. And I also think, too, sometimes planting lots of gardens, as you said, is very tiring. So sometimes we may not be as filled up because we've been distributing our energy every which way, as opposed to taking that time and really discovering what self-love is, which that's going to be a question I'm going to ask. What is self-love?
So self-love is embracing all aspects of yourself. And accepting where you are right now. It's that spiritual quality of loving acceptance. And, you know, accepting your shape, your body, the shape of the breast, the shapes of the hips, the shape of the thighs or whatever. Really accepting the body just as it is. And so there's not these remnants of hatred and self-judgment that contracts the auric field. It just sort of sucks it in. And so you're not radiating, you're not, you know, having that light that's glowing around you.
For our friends that are going through, say, I'm going to say menopause, because I have some friends now that are going through menopause, as well as friends who are getting close to menopause. And basically, I guess I'm talking hormonal change in a big way where literally they're up one day, they're down the next. And some of my teenage friends as well who are going through a little bit of teen angst where one day they feel totally sexy and hot and horny. And then the next day it's just like they feel, I guess the best way to describe it is gray and kind of flat like pavement. And just trying to make sure things aren't so manic where that self-love actually stays, as opposed to it being this euphoric, oh my goodness, infatuation with self, to flat.
Because it's that you're warm. It's this warm current of love. So it's not that high peaks and the deep lows. It's a consistent loving warmth that you're circulating through your body. And it makes for long-term connections as well, that love.
And I guess that's a big one, too, is that self-love is a lifelong love affair where that's the work as well, and that's the joy, and we have to focus on that piece. And I think sometimes in society we forget that, the self-care piece. And have to keep reverting back.
Because if you take care of yourself, you feel sexy. You know, if you do enough exercise, movement, breathing, you know, you just, that life force is moving, and it's so attractive.
On that note, just out of curiosity, because sometimes in Vancouver we've got a lot of people who are what I call addicted to workshops, where they will try everything as opposed to committing to one thing. And I don't know if it's because they keep searching to see what works for them and tend to stick. But just in terms of encouraging people to really find something that works for them, any recommendations?
I think it's finding something that you can practice, you know, on your like a daily practice. And that becomes a consistent thread, you know, and it, something that will connect you with your core and your center, you know, that you really feel in your body, that you're embodying your spirit. And when you find that, you know, it's less longing for something that's going to create more wholeness in you. Because you've already feel whole.
That makes perfect sense. I know you've got a special treat for us tonight. Actually, a couple, but the first for our lovely listeners out there. Mick has offered to lead us through a meditation, so I'm very excited. And so if you want to sit back, I'm going to let her take over.
So you can close your eyes. And tuning in to your breath, allowing the breath to fill your lower abdomen, and feeling the breath like an ocean wave, caressing the inside of your body, caressing your skin from inside. Relax. Allow your whole body to breathe. Feel your feet on the ground and the great Mother Earth below you. And drinking the earth energy through your feet and let it fill your legs, filling your torso. And the earth energy rising up your spine like a juicy sap rising up a tree, all the way up to your crown. And opening your crown like a flower opening to the light of the heavens and the vast starry worlds. Feeling your infinite potential. And then breathing down the light of the heavens, down the core of your body, all the way down to your belly. And visualize in front of you the eyes of someone you love. It can be even your own eyes, but loving eyes, unconditional love that's beaming into those eyes and into yours, and allowing your eyes to sparkle with inner light. And the corners of your lips lifting up into a beautiful smile. And breathing in the unconditional love, like golden light streaming through your third eye into the center of your brain. And lighting up the master glands, the glands of bliss. And showering that light through your face, down your throat, and all the way down into your heart. And placing your hands over your heart, feeling your heartbeat, feeling that love you have, that great love you have for this person or yourself, and allowing that love to overflow from your heart and spreading through your body, pulsating through every cell, telling every cell, I love you. And sending that message of love all the way down from your heart to your sexual organs. You can brush down with your hands if you make a soft ha sound. Sending the loving vibration down to your sexual organs and wrapping them with golden light. The preciousness of life force, of creativity, the passion for life, the passion to connect. And feel that vibration, the vibration, the ability to enjoy life, to receive pleasure, to give pleasure. Smile inside and allow that energy to rise up to your heart again. And you can put one hand on your heart and keep the other hand at your sexual organs. Feel them pulsating together. The passion and the love. And your smile. Smile of loving acceptance. And notice the face of that person softening and smiling back at you. Or your own smiling face. And come to peace. Come to peace with yourself. Come to peace with your loved ones. And then bring your hands to your navel. And gently spiraling your hands around your navel. And absorbing the self-love and the unconditional love into your center. Forming a golden ball of energy. And allow that golden ball of energy in your center to remind you that you are worthy of love. You are totally lovable. And rest for a moment. And rubbing your hands together. And drink those frequencies into your eyes. And wash your face. And brush down from your heart to your belly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I almost just want to drink that in for a little bit. Perhaps we'll take a moment and we are going to play, if she's listening tonight. I don't know if she is listening or not, but we've got a wonderful local musician who's absolutely fantastic at the Full Spectrum Goddess Workshop, and I believe she's going to be doing it on March 9th as well.
Yes, she is.
She is going to be playing, so not only are you going to get the amazing, wondrous workshop with the lovely Minka, but as well as that, Theta Phoenix is going to be there. She was absolutely incredible, where she played a multitude of different instruments last time.
Mm-hmm. Crystal bowls and harp and guitar. It was lovely.
And she, yeah, and even improv as well. It was pretty, nice. Pretty fantastic. Mm-hmm. So her album Legacy just came out within the last year.
Yes.
And so we
It's called Legacy, and the track is going to be
Your Fingertips.
Your Fingertips.
And here we go. And that was the lovely Theta Phoenix, and that was Fingertips, and that's from her album Legacy. And yes, she's from Vancouver. She is Canadian, and she's a lovely, beautiful female who is going to be playing on March the 9th, very specifically for Minka DeVos's a Full Spectrum Goddess Workshop, which is, she's pretty amazing, and Minka's pretty amazing, so together it's pretty formidable, amazing workshop, so I fully encourage. I'm going to ask this question now, because I know I'm probably going to get emails about this later after the show. How old do you have to be to take your workshops?
Our youngest has been 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. After puberty. And a certain emotional maturity, you know, to really go explore emotions and transform emotions and, yeah.
Okay.
Be responsible for yourself. Yeah.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But I'd love to teach for teenagers, you know, that are kind of working through the similar struggles and they want to really explore themselves in new ways. Yeah, I'm totally open to that.
Okay, that's good to know, because I think we might have a few teenagers. I was going to say young ladies and teenagers at the same time, and that didn't quite come out right. It was like blah, 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 blah. So if ladies, if you're listening and you do want to find out, you can totally check stuff out. So that would be good. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that that's the day after International Women's Day.
Oh, wonderful.
On March the 9th, yes. So, because March 8th is the International Women's Day, which is fabulous.
Yeah. And then there's the V-Day is also that's coming up on February 14th. And I think in March sometime they're going to have also, maybe March 8th. A dance, you know, 1 billion rising.
Mm-hmm. And our friends at UBC actually are doing the V-Day initiative for the Vagina Monologue. So that is running that in MERP, which is, and they're, if any of the cast members are listening, they're probably going to laugh. If I can remember what MERP, the acronym stands for, I believe it's a memory, rant and a prayer or something. Memory, a monologue, a rant and a prayer. There we go. The events there as well, and several different people about violence against women. And each year they pick out different pieces. So that's running from February the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, and 15th. It starts opening with MERP. Then it's the Vagina Monologues, MERP Vagina Monologues. And on the 15th, there is a matinee of, I believe, MERP and the Vagina Monologues in the evening. So that's coming up, and the money for that goes to Battered Women's Support Services, as well to support the initiatives on campus as well with the Sexual Assault Center, which has done some fantastic work, especially this year with some of the not-so-great things that have been happening on campus with the assaults on women. A lot of really great workshops, all the walking as well, the safe walks as well on campus to make sure that people feel safe and comfortable while they are coming to the university, but as well really prompting people to think about things outside. So that's going on as well. And as well as that, of course, there is no actual dance this year for the V-Day initiative in Canada on February the 14th. It will be everywhere else in the world for the 1 billion rising. But for Canada, because in Vancouver, we do the Women's Memorial March on February 14th. The Women's Memorial March Committee had asked the V-Day International if they could ask all the groups in Canada to put it on International Women's Day instead, for just so then that way they could honor the missing and murdered women on February 14th as well. And I think in regards to, I think it's 1 out of 3 women, 1 out of 6 men have dealt with sexual violence before the age of 18. And unless somebody chooses to tell you what their personal history is, whether their partner, lover, client, friend, family member, colleague, you don't know unless they choose to tell you. And with that, I think when you're in a relationship, sometimes it's really important, and healing is important at all times. But I think this is really great that you're doing the Valentine's Day Healing Love Workshop, especially at that time of year, where there is a lot of healing. And I know some of my past partners have dealt with sexual violence in their past as well. And there was not a lot of information out there, especially with in regards to healing men, which it does happen to them as well.
Definitely.
We just don't hear about it as much as we do with the women, and it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It's still there. And
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And holding space for each other in that sacred space, we can heal each other.
Mm-hmm.
And those deep wounds, you know, we can heal through it by channeling our own love between us. You know, so it's not just us working on ourselves, but just that through working on each other. Yeah, we can. The potential of healing is immense.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask two more questions about the workshop. I know the answers, but I think I do anyway. But I'm going to ask anyway, just because a few people who are listening may be curious. Do people have to get naked in front of people?
Oh, no, definitely. Everyone's fully clothed. It's totally safe. And all the movements, you know, of exchanging energy is like a dance.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's very... we move it in a way that we're helping each other out to move energy and open channels.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm glad, because sometimes when I've had people doing anything that has tantra in it, I'll get emails afterwards and people asking, does this mean we have to have sex in front of other people?
It's
like, no, that's not what this is about. But I just wanted to have it heard on air.
You don't even need to bring your partner. It doesn't need to be a couple. It can also be, you can bring a friend. Or, you know, even a family member. You know, it's just about connection.
Okay.
And deepening our connection. And then you can apply that into future relationships, if you like. It's kind of learning life skills of how to connect. And then you can apply that later. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Like how to touch, how to deeply touch, how to feel touch. And without being tentative or fearful, but really relax and allow that softness and sensuality to come out. And it just can be a hand, you know, just to feel what it's like. Yeah.
And I think that's key, because I think sometimes, especially when people have been in a relationship for a while, and my listeners out there who have kids, you may be going, gosh, she's thinking of me. where sometimes it really is, okay, it's Saturday night, it's the date night, and we've got the babysitter for X amount of hours, so we need to have sex, and we need to have sex now. Gosh, we better have an orgasm, because otherwise we're going to have to wait an entire whole week before we have it. Mm-hmm. And it's that where it goes back to that time when you started dating and the very first time when you get to hold hands in the movie theater, and that excitement of just letting that hand running up and down the arm, where it's exciting, it's fresh, it's new, and it's that connection and just feeling alive.
Yeah, and we often get with intimacy habits, and that can be pretty boring. You're touching the same way, same order, you know, and surprise, playfulness, you know, it's really invited. Yeah, keep it alive.
Yeah, and I think that's key, because sometimes when people have been together for a long time, many couples experience bed death, where they're very comfortable, but that's it, and where there's not that intimacy in the way it used to be. And sometimes both would love that, but they're not really sure where to even begin anymore, because they've gotten to such a comfortable state that it's hard to get that electricity going again, that energy just flowing.
So to create electricity, you need polarity.
Hmm.
So, you know, learning that receptivity again, learning that more masculine presence, you know, bringing that out. And so there's actually polarity between the couple. And this can be the same-sex couple as well. But the polarity is definitely needed for sexual attraction. And if we're constantly in that comfort zone and getting equal and, you know, things, that polarity gets a bit blurred and neutralized.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to maybe, the feminine needs to dress a little different, maybe... it nurtures their self a little bit more in different ways. Do they really relax into that sensuality, feel comfortable with themselves? Yeah, and being touched, be able to receive the touch. Yeah.
As opposed to always just being the giver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because as you mentioned, and I think men do it too, where we get married to certain roles in our lives and forget that there's all these wonderful pieces.
And it's good to flip as well, to really explore that more masculine side or that feminine side, and fire, water, and you know. When you mix fire and water, what do you get? You get steam. So it gets a steamy affair.
Yes, you do. So.
One person's up, the other person down, then they flip, flip, flip.
Yeah. It's one of the things that I worry about sometimes with equality, where sometimes I think we forget to honor what makes people beautiful and their own uniqueness about that wonderful balance of yin and yang.
Yes.
And that you can play with it. It doesn't have to stay this versus that, but being able to flip it, to play with it, but instead of ironing it so it has to be flat, straight, where there's no creases in it, it's not... There's nowhere for the energy to go.
Totally. Yeah, it doesn't need to be picture perfect. You know? Yeah, as we open up through the challenges, actually, it cracks open the heart, you know, and the tears flow and the heart starts to open. And then, you know, sexuality becomes very intimate because the hearts are open, you know, we soften. So sometimes the tears is really a necessary part to really get that the flow of the heart moving again.
For people who have dealt with infidelity in their relationships, because I know that does happen sometimes when people have been together for a long time, does that ever come up in some of the workshops where it's couple-based, where just having to work through some of those pieces, because, of course, there's sometimes loss of trust. But I do know that when couples are able to work through that, sometimes it makes the relationship stronger than it was before.
Because then you start to explore, why did you pull away? You know, what kind of flavor were you looking for? And what was lacking? You know, where was our communication broken? So, yes, you can heal those wounds and then start on a very deeper place in the next wave of relationship. Yeah. And loving acceptance, too. And compassion for that, for each other and the desires we have. Because we're all desiring to evolve. And with different people, we evolve in different ways. So compassion really helps. And forgiveness as well.
Yes. Although sometimes that's hard, but impossible.
Forgiveness, for you know, I feel is the energy to grow beyond the hurt. So if you hold on to that hurt, your heart can get really hardened. You don't want to open again because you don't want to get hurt again. So the forgiveness here is just to move through the hurt so you can open and continue to love.
So you've got a lot of wonderful things coming up. You've got the Valentine's Day Healing Love Workshop on February 14th, 15th, and 16th. You've also got the lovely workshop, the Full Spectrum Goddess as well, coming up on March the 9th. And if people are listening and just going, wow, that sounds really cool, but I'm not sure if I can make those dates. Mika also does lots of other wonderful things. She's got her Feminine Treasures workshops, and it's an 8-week series that's usually every Monday night. So that's something that you can get a taste of every week if that's what you want, as well as the healing Tao Qigong as well. And so there's lots of different pieces she does, but I think one of the pieces that I'm very excited about as well, and the weekly stuff I think is key because practice makes perfect, and the more you do something, the more it helps evolve you, and it becomes a positive habit is probably the best way to describe it, and as you take ownership with things, it becomes yours, which is a very beautiful, empowering thing. One of the really amazing things that Minka also does is, and she has trained a couple of the people I've had on the show before, which I was very delighted to find out, is the Sacred Femininity Teacher Training. And I'm very excited about that because you mentioned as well, usually it's all females who come to do that with you, but you've got one coming up that is going to be male and female.
That's going to be on 2015 in Bali. Oh. Yeah, that's going to be in March and April.
That's fantastic. So, wow, that's just like less than a year away.
Yeah, we have also a retreat on Cortez Island this summer, and that'll be for men and women as well.
Nice.
We do a lot of practice outside in nature.
Mm.
And, it's really awesome.
I am just glad it's in summer and not at this time of year when it's cold like now. I was visualizing doing Qigong outside with mittens on at this time of year. And I'd do it. It'd be more challenging. I prefer doing it inside at this time of year and looking outside it through the window, quite frankly.
It's a time of hibernation, too. So practices that are a bit more yin, a bit more internal, like kidney breathing or breathing into your abdomen and filling it out with energy and preparing yourself for more outward activities in the summer.
Now that makes perfect sense. And the other thing I did want to point out as well is if anybody's interested as well, Minka also does one-on-one sessions too. So if class schedule doesn't work, or you've got a group of women or a group of couples who might want a book, you can talk to her and possibly work something out if there was enough people for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's great to have workshops with people that know each other, friends, like women's circles, you know. Then it's always the ice is already broken, and you can just really move into that space of community and sisterhood, or you know, connecting on a deeper level already.
I like that.
Yeah.
What is the best way for people to find out about, like, how to get a hold of you, check out your website, etc.?
Yeah. So my website is Silent Ground. And I also have a website called Feminine Treasures, where I have a lot of products and videos and CDs that you can practice on your own.
And on that note, I'm going to highly recommend every female out there, every man, buy this for your woman, every guy, every woman, buy this for yourself, and everybody, buy this for your teenage daughter, buy it for your friend, your mother, etc. Feminine Treasures is a really awesome book. I haven't finished reading it yet, but I've been going through a lot of it, and it's pretty awesome, so I highly recommend it. So just get a copy. It's by the one, the only Minka. So
I'm just so happy to offer this to the world. I think it really makes a big difference if we can really own and cultivate our own sexual energy.
I 100% agree with that. So very much so. So what's next for you personally? Because you've got an abundance of wonderful work coming where you're sharing with the world. For you personally, what's next?
Well, the Bali retreat is really important for me because it's training women to go out into their own communities and offer this. And so I feel so fulfilled, you know, offering that retreat. And in Bali, of course, it's a very spiritual place and lots of beauty. So I'll also have a time to nurture myself with lots of Balinese massage and these wonderful spas.
That sounds pretty awesome.
And I'll go also to the Bali Spirit Festival, which is amazing for kirtan and dance and music. And so I'll attend that as well before. So I'll have a little time to myself before the training just to enjoy Bali.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. I just have trouble with the word misery. Miserable. Okay, his version. Okay, miserable with. Okay, Caroline, start again. Very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super awesomely hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And Minka, thank you so much for being on the show.
It's so grateful. Thank you for inviting me.
Welcome. And we will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a beautiful night, everyone. And do something good for yourself. Whatever that is that makes you just light up that inner smile, I really encourage you to do it. And love yourself, because when you do that, it inspires everybody else around you to love you too. And the more love we get in this world, I think it lifts us up. Have a beautiful night, everyone. And enjoy love, enjoy your sexuality, and play safe. And happy.